Hey you, how's it going? My name is Ruby Price and you are listening to the second ever episode of Fresh From The Scene. To begin, I would just like to say a massive thank you to everybody who listened and shared the first episode. It genuinely means a lot to me. Again, if you do enjoy this week's podcast, why not leave a review on whatever podcast platform you're listening on, and don't forget to share it on social media. You can find me online at FFTScene, that's FFTScene, or at Rubes. This week's guest is Jamie from Skies Turn Black, and now it's time for the podcast.
You're listening to Fresh From The Scene with your host, Ruby Price.
Welcome to Fresh From The Scene. Today's guest is the ever-lovely Jamie Jordan.
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
I'm pretty good. I'm tired, but I'm always tired. That's nothing new.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah. Cool. So, for those of you who don't know, A, why you're listening, B, Jamie is the lead vocalist and lead rhythm guitarist.
We've got two guitarists. We both do rhythm and lead. But yeah, the vocalist and guitarist of Skies Turn Black is my title, my official title.
So for the people who are listening who don't know who Skies Turn Black are, would you like to give a summation of who you are?
Skies Turn Black, we are a heavy metal band from the north of England. We've got a new album coming out next year, hopefully. Got a new single this side of Christmas that may or may not be released by now because of podcast versus real time. Video is done by the lovely Ruby Price, of course. Yeah, if you enjoy headbanging and singing big choruses and wild guitar solos, then we're your band. You should check us out. Our debut album came out in 2018. It's called No Place Like Home. Let's give that a listen to.
It is definitely a good album. You know, I bought a copy, and it arrived a couple of weeks later.
That's Danny doing the post.
Yeah. It was
sending
definitely
stuff out, not when he's meant to at all, just when he feels like it. Hey, Danny.
Hi, Dan. You've just said your new album's coming out next year.
That's the hope, yeah.
Yeah, that's
so
the hope.
So it's written and the recording process is well underway. With these things, you know, our first album took ages because a lot of it we were learning on the job. There were 3 years between our first EP and the first full length. And we're trying to cut that down to more like 18 months of it. And I'm not going to give a date, but at some point in 2020, I want to be putting out Sky's album too. And we're on track for that, like, actually this time as well, rather than being on track and then being like, nope, start again, we got to do everything again, which happened just several times for the last record, because, like I said, we didn't really know what we were doing going in and learnt a lot the hard way, the hard way being, let's have to do all of these guitar parts again, when we, like, acquired new gear or found that the old gear didn't sound good or whatever, but now everything's in place. You know, it's been an absolute breeze so far. We've got a lot of the guitar tracks down, a couple of the vocal tracks down, all the drums near enough done. It's good.
Yeah, you mentioned the recording process obviously going a lot more smoothly, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
How's the writing process different for a second album?
The writing process for the album too was different. There was a lot of, like, I really like our first album, obviously, but there were a lot of things that I wouldn't do again, like a lot of sort of mistakes that I made. So it's just kind of working out what they were and not doing them again, and then picking up on, you know, in the same way, picking up on what was good about the first album and sort of really hammering that home. Also, what's been really different now is, I think I can talk about this, we've got a new lineup. We said goodbye to our old drummer very sadly and hired Rob Halliday on the drums, and we've also brought in Xander Riles on keys, and he's had a huge part in the writing process, particularly for vocals this time around. He sort of hit the writing process for album one was very much, I write stuff, send it to George, George gives it the okay, and then we record it. Whereas this time, like, we've really been back and forth between the three of us, me, Xander and George. They've sort of had a lot of ideas. It's not quite like a one-third each writing, but it's much closer to that than album one was, for sure. And they'll sort of rein me in when I'm trying to do something that's too showy-offy or whatever. And I'll do the same for Xander when he, you know, he just takes the mix sometimes. And George, yeah, does you know, everything George writes is really good. I just wish he'd do more of it, honestly. Like, George could, if we had an album that was all George Turner, it might be the best album we've ever done. absolutely stunning writer who's not as prolific as I'd like him to be. But saying that, you know, he does all sorts of other stuff for the band as well. He produces the whole thing. All the mixing and mastering for all of our music after the first EP was him. And I think he's done a really good job. And I think based on how album two sounds right now, it sounds much better than the first album. And I quite like how the first album sounds. But he's just like... You know, if he wanted to be, if he could push the business side of it, he could be one of the best producers of metal, really, just out of his pot. Yeah, brilliant guy. Yeah, the big part of the writing process, bringing Rob in as well. Rob works more closely with us than Adam ever did for drum parts. So we're getting, like, I quite like the drumming on album one, but we're getting, you know, making sure that every drum fill is just nothing more than what it needs to be. And you know, there's moments where he gets to show off as well, yeah. But and making sure everything really complements what the band is doing and what the vocal lines are doing. It's been really nice. The band really feels like a unit now, for the first time in years. Actually, it's really fresh, and I think the music we're doing is really exciting. Actually,
I mean, when you get a band that sort of, you know, is working as a band, yeah. You know, that's obviously going to impact the live shows as well.
Yeah. So the live shows are in our time, in podcast recording time, we haven't done any with this lineup yet, but by the time this is out, I feel like we may have done. So the live show, we've been rehearsing a lot, though, recently, and the live show is very different now. We've completely sacked all the playing to a clicks backing track business that we had, because now we've got a keys player. You know, largely, the stuff that had to be on the backing tracks was either piano parts or, like, pretty strings and stuff, and then, like, sub drops and, you know, metal hits and trash can noises and stuff. Which we have, that's Xander's job. Xander is essentially our backing track man and backing vocalist, as well as doing a lot of the writing. So yeah, all the big piano parts we have done fully live now. He's an absolute, can I swear on this?
Yeah,
he's
go ahead.
He's a fucking stunning pianist, man. Xander, he just blows me away. He's the director of music at Dewsbury Minster. So he's like ridiculous organ player, like professional organ player, who I've somehow managed to convince to play in my band with me, and I'm so happy about it. And yeah, adding him as a vocalist as well has been really good for live, because George is a perfectly serviceable singer, but Xander has a much bigger range. So there's a lot of vocals on album one that are backing vocals that George just couldn't sing. Whereas now we can, not only can we have, you know, the backing vocals as they are on the album all the time, but we can even when there's three voices, we can have that too as well, which has been really cool. We spent a lot of time going over, like, the big sort of, just before the last chorus of No Place Like Home, there's a big three-part harmony bit where all of us are singing, like, right at the top of our ranges, and we've got to sound really tight. I'm really excited about it, actually. And then also with Xander having the sort of, we're using the piano as more, how do you describe it? So in the first album, a lot of the piano parts, it was like we wrote the four-piece band and then just sort of added stuff on top.
Yeah.
But for this album, it sounds a lot more cohesive because it's been written for this lineup. Where we've got a pianist who, like, I wrote a lot of the piano parts on album one, and I'm not, like, I can get my way through a few scales on piano, but I'm not a pianist by any stretch of the imagination. So a lot of them were sort of not idiomatic for the piano at all, whereas now they are. We've got a brilliant player playing them, and it's a much more integral part of the sound now, which you'll hear in our new single, The Silence. There's a really prominent piano parts in a lot of the song, which has been really exciting for us, because I love all that, you know.
The
mixing of timbres is I find it really fascinating, actually. That's why I use so many it's why we use so much orchestral sounds as well, which also George and Xander collaborate on the orchestral writing and meet with me sort of overseeing that the notes are right and then making it sound pretty, and it's brilliant. It's so good. It's really nice to sort of, for me to not like take a step back, but to be able to delegate that everyone has their jobs. And I know what mine are, and I know what I'm good at, which means I don't have to go out of my comfort zone to do something that, you know, my best friends in my band can do for me.
Yeah, definitely.
It's wicked, yeah.
Yeah,
Skies is... Like, obviously, we haven't done the shows yet, and and right now the single isn't out. We're shooting the video in November with yourself. Yeah, but it's gearing up to be really exciting. So in terms of what's actually finished for album two, that we've got like maybe four or five songs other than the single recorded that we're going to send out to labels and whatnot, see if we can get a major label backing, because that's sort of, you know, a sort of logical next step for us. Skies is really exciting right now. It's the bottom line. There's a lot of exciting things coming up in our future, and possibly this podcast's past by the time this comes out.
Yeah, so, you know, you just mentioned you've got the new single's going to be Silence, right?
Yeah, it's called The Silence.
The Silence.
Yeah. Skies Turn Black, The Silence, available on all good web music platforms and YouTube and all that jazz.
And all that jazz. Yeah. But yeah, when you were writing it, did you always know it was going to turn out to be the single?
So, no, actually. The writing process for this song was, I think, it was an idea George had for the sort of down-tempo, it's not really a breakdown, but the heavier sort of bouncy section. George sent that over to me, and then I was like, okay, cool. And you know, we did the whole, as we often do, like write a section around that and then send it over, and then you'd back and forth, for just over a couple of days at Christmas. And then we had the whole instrumental thing. We got back then we actually didn't know Xander would be involved, but we knew it was the sound we were going for anyway. And I actually got him to help me write some of the piano parts even before he was in, because I sort of knew that he would be up for the job eventually. Yeah, so that we got the, you know, this big, sort of fairly long song. It's like about 5.5 minutes. But there's so much you can do in a 5.5 minute song. So, you know, it starts with the very, like, obvious what Skies has done for years, like me and George whizzing around in parallel thirds for a minute or so. And then sort of, as we often do, just try and just make like a solid rock song for the meat and potatoes of it. You know, it's got a big chorus with, you know, a verse that complements it. But the thing with this song is that the bit that really excites me is our use of dynamics in this song is more than we've done, and I think more than a lot of bands. More than a lot of bands do, and I wish that people would do it more. There's, you know, whole sections where I'm not playing anything, which is quite rare in Skies that I'm not playing anything, because it's really hard for my hands to shut up. And, you know, it just, like, a nice piano, simple, you know, just what it needs to be. So, yeah, a nice sort of stripped-back drum pattern, and then the build-up to where it kicks back in, you know, it's the really exciting sort of contrast that helps. And then the whole bridge section for the song, it's like a minute and a half of nothing but my voice, Xander's voice, and Xander's piano. And we get to explore all these like gorgeous, like ooky spooky harmonies. And, you know, we've always done a bit of that, but I think this is the song where we've done that most. What was your actual question? Something about the single. Something about the writing process.
Did you always know it was going to be the single?
Did we always know it was going to be the single? No, we didn't. No, it was... So, as often happens with our writing process, we get the instrumental song finished, and we know that this is what the instruments are going to sound like, this is what the backing is going to sound like, and then sometimes the vocal melody is involved in that as well, but the lyrics always come, not like as like an afterthought, but they always come last. I find it easiest to write vocal melodies when I know what I'm singing on top of, you know, and all of us have done instrumental composing for various different projects as well. So it was when that we knew it was going to be the single when we first did the demo after writing the vocals. This was the first song that we demoed with Xander on the vocals as like sort of part of his audition. We like see what he's like in the studio. The answer is he's brilliant in the studio, and I really like how our voices blend as well. Like the first album, I'm all the vocals on there, and like, I'm not against doing that, but if we've got two really brilliant singers who you know, our voices like gel and blend really nicely, I think it's really important. But yeah, as soon as we got that, it was basically as soon as we heard the chorus after we'd sent it to George and he'd mixed it with the rest of the backing, we were like, yeah, if we don't release this song as the first single, we've made a mistake. Because like, not only is it's probably what I think is the best song on the album, but it's also the most us, and it's the most sort of what we want to do with this record. Yeah, it's a sort of a nice follow-on from No Place Like Home as well. You know, it's the same sort of formula of how all those songs were written, but just a bit more mature. You know, and all the things that we wish we'd done differently on all those songs from back in the day, we've done. You know, we've kind of ironed out those glitches in our writing process, and it's like this song could have gone on No Place Like Home, which actually isn't true for a lot of this record. So I think it's kind of important that The Silence sort of bridges the gap between the two. It's the most what people will recognise as our sound.
Going back to what you were just saying about, you know, like using dynamics and stuff to like in a way that you've never done before.
Yeah.
I was watching a video with Frank Carter talking about his new record.
Oh yeah.
End of Suffering, and they were talking about like how with the previous two records beforehand, it was all wall of sound. But like for their third record, they specifically looked at like using space properly and like, you know, not having this constant, you know, like I don't really know what the term would be, but just noise.
Yeah, that's so what it is. Like wall of sound's a really good phrase to use. Like that's so much of our albums, of our first albums, like it's sick. Like I love it. But a lot of it's like, oh my God, shut up. Jesus. Yeah, like a song like No Place Like Home, the title track of our first album, you know, there's one little section where you've got that drum going and then the, you know, the chorus really quietly, but it's nothing that exciting. It's just the chorus but quieter. Actually, I want to give a shout out to my parents for doing doing the flute and clarinet parts on that section of the all the flute and clarinet on the album is my mum and my dad. Which was really exciting. Yeah, that was really fun to do. Really nice for them to be able to make music with me, actually, because, you know, they're both, well, largely classical guys. You know, I've been and done that. I played the French horn in Halle Youth Orchestra for years, but, you know, I'm a rock star, really. You know, it's cool that we got to meld the two. It's really nice. What was I talking about? How I'm playing Place Like Home's a bit sort of, not, it's not all over the place, but it's very, very non-stop.
Mm.
Like, it's very relentless. You know, this as of yet unnamed album 2 has those moments. You know, it's got two of the most absolutely like balls to the wall, crushingly heavy songs we've ever done, which I'm really excited for people to hear. And I've been able to experiment with my vocal style, do different sort of styles of screaming and more, have some more variation there. And another really exciting thing is that we've been able to do, because we don't have two lead vocalists, but we have, you know, two very strong vocalists, and we've been able to do What I've always dreamed of, having like call and response between singing and screaming, but obviously I can't do that all live. I have to breathe and stuff, and I can't say two words at once.
Inward screaming.
Oh God, no. So with the double vocalist thing, there's moments of, you know, Xander's, you know, either gorgeous melodies or, you know, Hetfield-y like aggressive singing, and then I get to go and do my growling as and stuff as well, which is really fun. Those sections were really, really fun to listen to, actually. In the songs Definitely and As You Fall, and there's another one that we haven't decided on a title yet. It's one of those where the lyrics don't really... There's one, like, where a title... You know when a title just doesn't jump out at you?
Yeah.
Like it does for a song like No Place Like Home. Like, that song couldn't have been called anything else.
I mean, that song could have been called Whoa.
It could have been called Whoa. Yeah, that would have been better. Let's call the second album Whoa. I'm going to write that down. There's some good Whoa sections on this album too.
I mean, obviously you want some crowd sing-along bits.
Yeah, man. So important. There's a big, big cheesy song on there called The Skies Are Falling Down.
Okay.
Which might be one of the singles. We haven't decided yet. I'm hoping it'll be like the third, maybe, single for this album. Does the whole... It's the chorus melody again, but we're singing Whoa instead of the words. It's brilliant. It's genius.
That does sound pretty genius.
Yeah, man.
Speaking
it's
of
the absolute pinnacle of my musical composition. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Speaking of genius, though, like if you do not film a music video for that, where you are all falling down during the chorus, you've missed a great opportunity.
Yeah, we missed a trick there. Yeah. It's one of those where, like, if we had the budget, I want to film it like on a rooftop or something.
Mm.
With like drones and stuff, that'd be really fun.
Drones and stuff.
Yeah. Like as the cameraman, I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That'd be really sweet. Like a big like top-down view of us playing. Yeah, that'd be sick.
Just go wild. Make a crowdfunder.
Yes, Kickstarter, or whatever it's called, yeah.
Kickstarter, Indiegogo, they're everywhere these days.
Yeah.
I've seen you in lots of different projects, you know, like I've seen you playing with friends, I've seen you just, you know... I saw you once playing in a folk band in a pub, which is quite surprising.
That's a thing I do a lot now, actually. So, yeah, earlier this year... I got really into like Irish diddly folk music, which is something I'd done a little bit before. I went to a few, they're called sessions, which is where people who, you know, like and play the music turn up to pubs that hold them and just play traditional Irish folk diddly diddly tunes. And I did it a little bit sort of in my late teens with my dad, and then sort of ignored it when I moved to Huddersfield for years. And then I discovered there's one at the Grove, which is like 5 minutes walk from my house. Which is brilliant. It's like the best session I've ever been to, and the people are all lovely, and I really sort of fell in love with that sort of music again. I recently got picked up by the Silver Thistle Cayley Band, small plug there. If anyone wants to have Kaylee's for birthday parties and weddings and all that jazz, you know, give us a ring. But yeah, all that stuff's really fun. So I imagine you saw me in the Grove on a Thursday, right?
Yeah.
That'd be what it was. Yeah, so I do that pretty much every week whenever I can make it down. And then Silver Thistle, we've just got off the back of a big run of providing music at Chatsworth House, the stately home in Derbyshire. We had our last one yesterday. It was very sad to have to say goodbye, but we'll be back next year. Just playing sort of nice, slow tunes and songs and stuff in the gardens just to provide some ambiance. I mean, they used to have like an umpire brass band there, and I think we make more sense, actually. I don't know any members of that brass band, and I'm sorry if any of you are listening, but I think we do your job better than you.
Diddly diddly, umpire.
Yeah.
You know.
It's the same stuff, really, isn't it?
Yeah. I was doing some weighing scales, but for an audio podcast, that doesn't quite work.
It doesn't translate as well.
Yeah. No.
I've actually got all my whistles with me.
Your whistles are with you?
Yeah, I was doing some practice earlier. Can I?
Go for it.
Yeah, it's loads of fun. I'd really recommend it. If anyone lacks music in their life that only plays in 6/8, then Irish Diddly Music's the stuff for you.
I mean, I can barely play in 4/4, and I've been playing guitar since I was, like, 10.
Wow. How old are you now? 22?
24.
Same. I've been playing guitar for about the same amount of time.
Cool. And there's a complete gulf in class.
Potentially. Haven't seen you play, but I'm very good.
So. I saw you change a guitar mid-song because you snapped a string.
Oh, dude, I remember that gig.
That was so cool.
That,
Phipps Musical.
Was that like Emma Whisker's old
recital
band? Yeah,
that's
what
it was.
Yeah, it was the reunion of my good friend Emma, her recital band. There was some music society event that, where we were all there. We were like, should we just go up and play those songs? And I was completely drunk.
Yeah.
And what probably happened is I did that thing where I do like a big pinched harmonic, no, not pinched harmonic, big natural harmonic on like the top three strings, and then lift the guitar up by the whammy bar, and it goes wow. And but if you do that, you know, do it really carefully, and I was like 6 pints in, I snapped a string, so yeah, I had to run off and grab another guitar, which then was in a different tuning, so I was then transposing at the same time, and it was a nightmare. But I mean, God knows how it sounded, but no one complained. So
no, like, you know,
it seemed to go down pretty well. I remember,
just, you know, saw you walking off stage and started laughing, and then I realised what you were doing.
Yeah. Those were fun days, man. Though, like when that crowd were all still at uni.
Mm.
Good old music society nights, either in Rhubarb or in Phipps. They were loads of fun. Played bass in one of the scratch bands once as well, doing what's that song? September by Earth, Wind and Fire.
Oh yeah.
Had to like learn the bass part for that in 30 seconds, which you'll notice is less than the time of the song.
Yeah.
So it was awful. Well, I was awful. Everyone else is probably really good, but I'm not a bass player and I don't know that song. So I was very much winging it, but as you know, uni night, that sort of thing goes down pretty well, actually.
Yeah.
Everyone had a good time.
I mean, that song, you know, is probably one of the most synonymous bops of September.
Yeah,
you know,
it is a bop.
Like, there are two September songs that I can think of, and one's
the,
you know,
Green Day.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, you're supposed to play that when September finishes.
Yeah, yeah.
They're both, you know, September's just lacking for early September songs.
Yeah, there aren't many. Like I said, there's got to be loads of pop punk songs about how school sucks, right?
You'd think I would know, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I would think you'd know, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I can't think of anything. Guess it's like, you know, first line of September, do you remember? The answer is no.
No, I don't.
So, you know, you guys have got some very interesting merch, let's say. You
know,
from what I've seen of the stuff that I've got, you know. It's
probably
all
actually completely illegal copyright.
There's definitely some legal grounds for it to exist, you know, like fair use and stuff like that.
Yeah, maybe.
As long as it's clear that it's a parody.
Yeah.
You know.
So I know what you're talking about. You're talking about the stupid Jurassic Park shirts, right?
Oh, yeah, you know.
Yeah. So I want to make it very clear to the audience and Skies' audience that I had nothing to do with the creation of those. They were all Danny's idea, and he's free to do whatever he wants with our merch. That's, like, it's very much his thing. Is he, you know, not that he isn't involved in the musical process, but, he, you know, he looks after all the merch and all the gig booking, you know, he's a stunning bass player, and I absolutely love working with him. And he's also really good at sort of whipping us into shape and kind of acting like a manager a lot of the time. Sometimes he makes absolutely brilliant decisions with merchandise. And you know, I'm never going to stop him making merchandise because at the end of the day, us selling merchandise pays me. So he can do whatever he wants. But yeah, so we have this T-shirt, which it was a limited run, right? We only made like 20 of them or something.
I've got no idea. Maybe. I've got one.
Cool, yeah. I seem to know more people that have the Jurassic one than the real one. Which I kind of wish wasn't the case, actually, I will admit. But it's a funny T-shirt. It's just our logo on the Jurassic Park trademark, which yeah. I think, like, I can't believe, well, if we were any bigger, we wouldn't have gotten away with it, really.
I mean, I've definitely seen bigger bands doing the same thing. I actually,
oh, okay, cool.
I have another, like, band Jurassic Park
T-shirt. Oh, do you? Oh, cool.
Baseball tee, but, you know.
Yeah, I think we were just cashing in on that new film.
Jurassic World.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. It is funny, though. Yeah, the merch side of the band is actually something I really enjoy, like selling like lighters and stuff. Like we've had two runs of lighters. The first ones were really cool. It was a normal like sort of without the roller. It was just a button lighter. The other side was a bottle opener.
Really?
Yeah, it was sick. Like,
that does sound pretty sick.
Yeah, like, it's just like everything you ever need for a party, you know?
Yeah, you know what are the two things that people ask you for at parties?
Yeah.
You got a lighter.
Yeah, and you got a bottle opener. Yeah, exactly. And it was like, so we sell them for like a quid after buying like 100 of them for, you know, way less than 100 quid, actually.
That's how commerce works.
Yes, because we are evil, greedy capitalist pigs. And but like, it's a brilliant way of getting into people's heads, you know?
Yeah.
Like if you sell a lighter to a smoker and then they look at that 10 times a day for until the lighter runs out or until they lose it and then someone else picks it up, it's sort of constant. You know,
yeah.
You know, hearts and minds, as they say, very much in their minds and lungs, if we're selling them lighters. It's actually something we're looking at doing at the moment. We're in the process of sorting out artwork for album 2 and for the Silence single for the next run of merch. Sort of debating if we want to change up our logo, which by the time this is released, you may know whether or not that's happened, because I don't yet. Who knows? Time travel, eh? It's funny.
Time travel is amazing. I wanted to lead on to a question of, what's probably the least favourite merch that you've ever seen?
Least favourite merch that I've ever seen?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Those fucking Rammstein dildos, man.
Rammstein dildos?
Yeah, dude.
I knew Kiss had, like, a sex toy range, but I didn't know Rammstein did some as well.
I don't know why, but it felt cooler when Kiss did it.
Yeah.
I like Rammstein, and it was sort of funny. And then, I don't know, a big part of me was like, that's completely tasteless, actually. I don't know, do I mean that? Because it would have been hilarious if it was Panther, you know?
Yeah.
Or like Motley Crue or one of those bands.
Do Rammstein sort of have like a sort of, you know, sexy vibe to them?
Not to their music at all.
No.
Their music sounds like, you know...
It's definitely...
Du hast!
Yeah.
Du hast! It's not what I think of. You know, it's not doesn't make me want to
get
jiggy
on.
With it. You know, that's the answer.
Dildos.
Least favorite merch has got to be the Rammstein dildos. I mean, power to them if they can sell them. Then, you know,
it's definitely power to
them. I can't sell 3D printed models of my cock, so you know.
Oh, were they actual?
Oh yeah, they were. Yeah.
I didn't think. I don't even think Kiss did that. I thought Kisses were just like, you know, like. Generic dildos.
No.
Wow.
Yeah. In it.
So, Skye's turn back dildos?
One day. Xander's is pretty big, so maybe.
Band influences. Everyone talks about these.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, cool.
Go on, then.
So, obviously, the main sort of two or three are Sevenfold. It's the first thing that everyone ever says when they hear our music. And it's completely sort of justified, actually. I think Sevenfold are fucking brilliant. And I think they do a sort of really good version of modern metal. I think it's not that I think it's what it should sound like, but I, you know, it's definitely my favourite. It's been my favourite band for years. Dragon Force.
Yeah.
I don't know if... Did you see our Metal Hammer review when No Place Like Home came out?
I heard about it.
Yeah, dude. I love Metal Hammer. It was really cool to be... reviewed in Metal Hammer. Like, I grew up reading that magazine for years. You know, found a lot of my favourite bands on the pages that I'm now seeing myself in. It's really exciting, actually. And yeah, what did they say? They said, oh, No Place Like Home is Jamie Jordan and George Turner have cooked up some of the best guitar work of 2018. However, most of it sounds... What does it say? Like, most of it sounds like pseudo-power metal Dragon Force wannabeism is the phrase they used.
Wow.
It's pretty savage, actually.
Yeah.
Looking back. I can't remember the name of the bloke who did it, but I read a bunch of the other reviews that he wrote, and he's clearly really, really into death metal and not into his melodic stuff. So it's a shame that we got someone who our album really isn't aimed at.
Yeah, actually. That is a bit of a shame.
But, you know, what can you do? You know how journalism works. It's what you do.
Yeah.
Dragon Force, another big one. All the big power metal bands, man. Rhapsody of Fire.
Yeah.
A brilliant. Blind Guardian. More modern bands like Beast in Black. Really boppy, like, sort of Europe-influenced, like, 80s sound is something that we've sort of dabbled with a little bit because it's really fun, man. Just, you know, whatever cheesy chords and a big, you know, a big hook, any big hook you want, and then boom. Instant banger. Brilliant. I know that... So what is George... George listens to loads of prog at the moment, actually. He's big into bands like Periphery and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I think maybe largely because of how involved they are in the production thing. Like, he's bought every Get Good Drums library that there's ever been. He absolutely loves it. He lives for it. So, yeah, that's his thing. Me, myself, and Xander are the big power metal heads. What we do? Oh, Galnerius, man! Have you heard of Galnerius?
No, I haven't. Oh, actually.
They're brilliant. They're this Japanese band. What does it sound like? You know, like how anime openings are like they're a bit hit and miss, but when they're hits, they're hits, man.
Yeah.
A lot of the really good ones were actually written by Galnerius.
Oh, right.
Can't call any to mind. A lot of the outros are their ballads as well, actually. And yeah, that's a big and they do they're so fucking clever, man. Like. Some of the stuff you listen to it, and it's just the I'm hugely into like nerdy harmonic progressions, and they do that so well. You listen to some of it, and it's like Beethoven, man. It's sick. They were one of the biggest influences in our decision to make Xander buy a keytar. Turns out that the 80s were correct, and the keytars are the coolest thing in the world, man.
They do look pretty cool. One of my friends got one who was a YouTube musician.
Oh, cool.
And it just completely, like, changed the way that, like, his videos were done at the time. Like, I don't think he uses it very much.
Do you know what model he has?
No.
Because from what I understand of keytars, there is one good one in the world. Like, all the bands that I've ever seen use one, use the same. It's Roland AX Synth, I think it's called.
Right.
And then basically all the other keytars are toys. Compared to it, it's like £1,000. We got it out of the box. Well, Xander got it out of the box. I wasn't there. But I was like, oh, let us know when you find a good lead tone that you like. And he was like, well, there's 350 of them, but number one sounds really good. So that's what we stuck with for now. Any other influences that am I thinking? Musically, there's sort of whiffs of metalcore in our sound. There always has been bands like Trivium and Bullet for My Valentine and all that stuff. There's a couple of nice nasty breakdowns in there, which I'm very excited for you all to hear. There's one. It's the song I mentioned earlier. It's just like absolute balls out thrash, which I'm really excited about. It's loads of fun to play. It's like a really a Metallica, Megadeth, sort of Slayer-y, really easy to play, simple riff that just you put a smacking drum beat behind it and it bangs, dude.
Yeah.
It's, stupid fast and, so it's fun.
Because you've now, because you will now have two albums worth of material eventually, does that mean that you're going to drop the covers section of your live shows?
Oh, well, so we'll always do covers gigs.
Yeah.
That's a big part of what we do. We don't tend to advertise them as much as our main shows because it's not what they're for. It's just showing up and playing, The Pretender and Enter Sandman and stuff to put us in pubs, which is, it's great fun and it's good money. I think we'll always play, probably always play Take On Me Live because it's such a blast.
It suits
us so well, yeah. But yeah, so I think what's more likely to be dropped is the material from the first EP. We do get the odd person who's like, oh, you're not going to play Life Goes On or Cold or any of that. And we're like, no. No, we're not. Sorry. If we're ever doing, hour and a half shows or whatever, then maybe. But for now, when like the longest show we do, just our stuff is an hour, really, generally. If that, actually, I love playing long shows, man, when you can really like get into the nooks and crannies of the first album that we don't often get to play songs like Never Again, and we've never played One Mind, and we've never played Revolution, and I'd love to do that.
I mean, playing an 8-minute song, you know, you've got to have a set for that.
Yeah, you can't do that in a half an hour set, can you? You know, in case, you know, just don't want to bore everyone to death with 8 minutes of sort of, it was written by, 19-year-old me messing around with harmonies and orchestras and stuff for basically the first time. And I love it. I think it's a brilliant song.
Yeah, it's a good closer for the album.
Thank you. It'd be loads of fun to play that live one day. And now we can do it justice with, you know, three vocalists and a piano as well.
Yeah.
It's just the case of everyone putting in the time to learn an 8-minute song. Because there's loads of content in there. So I haven't listened to it in a long time, but there's got to be at least like 10 different sections.
Yeah.
Which don't often come back. Will the covers go from the set? Probably not.
No.
At least Take On Me won't. Not yet, anyway. And like that, as we've been doing more covers shows, we've learnt more covers as well.
Yeah.
The favourites at the moment are songs like Summer of 69. It's really good.
Oh, yeah. That's definitely a crowd pleaser.
Yeah. We're looking at doing some Bon Jovi numbers as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think we'll sort of, because we're not doing the playing to backing tracks thing anymore, we can sort of play it by ear, and if it seems like people want a cover, then we'll throw one in, you know, or if we start early in Parish and just have to fill time, you know.
Yeah.
Which we often do, it's been known. We play for unreasonable lengths of time in Parish and actually wait for the venue to just kick us out before we start playing, because why would we stop if it's loads of fun, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
If the crowd's still having, if they're still there, still watching, you know, give them what they want.
Why not have a 10-minute breakdown in the middle of Gay Bar?
In it, yeah, exactly. Yeah. I could stand to stop playing Gay Bar.
I got that sort of vibe when I watched you play Gay Bar Live.
Danny just won't have it, though. My problem with that song is it's a good song, but it is the same riff for about 7 minutes when we play. Like, oh my God, let's do something else! But yeah, I do love playing covers, though. They're good.
Especially if you find, like, the right cover. Like you were saying, you know, Take On Me.
Yeah.
You know, like, if there's a cover that's just perfect for your band.
Yeah.
You know, like, you've got to fucking play it.
It works so well doing we've added the third below to the bup, 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 and doing it on two guitars, how me and Josh do everything. Yeah, it's loads of fun. Yeah, I love it.
Well, is there anything else you would like to plug?
Not especially, no.
Not especially.
Go and listen to The Silence. Buy the new album when it comes out next year. Go and buy our first album too. Yeah, that's what you should do.
Yeah.
Listener. Obey.
Specific person, Steve.
Yes. Steve. I know you're listening. James. That's my name. That was rubbish. No!
Are you planning on listening back?
I mean, I probably will.
You'll forget about that bit now.
Oh, God, I will as well. Oh.
That'll be a fun reaction.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah, it's been lovely.
Yeah, thank you for coming on.
It's absolutely. It's been a pleasure. Yeah, thank you for having me.
You're welcome. I think that's right. Yeah, that is right. You're welcome. You know, if people want to find Skies or you online...
If you want to find Skies, you should go to facebook.com/skiesturnblack. I recently purchased the domain skiesturnblack.com, but there's nothing there yet. So look out for that as well. The official website launch will be fun, where you can find links to all of our stuff, all of our merch, all of our videos, all of our gig information. Yeah, and wish us luck for securing a record deal, because that's the next goal for us, I believe.
That'd be fun to see.
It would.
Yeah.
Yes, I agree.
Thank you, and goodbye.
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 You're listening to Fresh from the Scene with Ruby Price.
Thanks again for listening. You can find the links to Skies Turn Black in the description, and you should definitely go and check them out if you haven't heard them before. Don't forget to subscribe for more podcasts, share this on social media, and if you did enjoy, leave a review. Follow us on Twitter at FFTScene, links in the description. I'll see you in next week's podcast with another special guest. Thank you very much. Goodbye.